Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the OK Gamers Podcast. It's Brian here with Dan and Pat.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody.
Me.
How you guys doing? How you holding up?
Yeah. Good.
I'm doing well.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm doing good.
All right, all right.
How you holding up?
Good. Can't complain.
How's that rash?
You know, you use a little ointment.
It's still there?
Hell yeah.
No, got cleared up.
Oh, good.
Hell
yeah. That was bad.
It's funny that you mentioned that the, I saw a clip of, I guess because, like, sports are coming back, so there was, like, a thing about players being mic'd up, and I think it was definitely, like, an offensive lineman, and there was, like, a wide receiver that was mic'd up, and it was, like, you know, so-and-so, like, knew he was mic'd up and, like, went up to him and, like, was like, yeah, how's that that thing you got, that rash that we saw earlier, like, did pulled like that, he, like, knew he was, he started laughing.
That's funny.
He's like, I love that they control each other, like, that's always a good time.
I always have to imagine that happens, like, way more than anyone realizes on the field. Sometimes, or, like, any sport, but probably, like, you know, way worse than, like, you know, kidding around stuff like that, too, but...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's awful half the time, but, you know. The one thing I'll say, that now that baseball is, like, they're preparing to resume, like, in July, which, like, I fucking can't wait. It sucks that stadiums are going to be empty, but I just need baseball back.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I really want to watch some baseball, but at the same time, I kind of hate that this is the season that we're going to have. But
yeah, it's 60 games, and it's going to be just like a mess and whatever.
Some players, like, are not going to give a shit, you know, like. But
yeah, it's going to be a disaster. But to my point is that, like, I hope they mic up the players, like, with the broadcast booths, and they did that for some of the summer league games, and it was, like, fucking great.
Yeah.
Because just the banter, like, some guys are really, really good at it, and they can, like, interact, like, literally while they're at the plate, like, you know, like, fucking taking a 90-mile-an-hour heater, like, down the pipe, like, oh, that was fast, you know, like,
yeah,
the guys in the booth are, like, in their ear talking to them, like, some of it's so cool, like, they did it with a lot of the summer league games, so
sure.
I hope that they, just to try to add a little layer of entertainment, because, like, there's just not going to be any people there, you know, so.
That too, yeah. Also, baseball can use some fucking extra entertainment, which is why not that many people watch baseball anymore, which is why the MLB is always trying to find ways to get people more involved.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a shame, because I mean, I can understand that it's not for everybody, just because it's not as exciting as, like, football or hockey, because, like, it's not, like, constant action. But, like, for me personally, like, there's fucking nothing better than, like, a fucking pitching duel.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, like, you know, there's, like, one hit on each side. You know, you got fucking the same start pitcher going, like, deep into the seventh inning.
Yeah.
Guys just fucking dealing. You're just
exactly.
waiting for that, like, big home run to crack the game open. Yeah. Like.
Yeah, or, like, a bat that goes, like, you know, like, seven swings and he's, like, fouling
the
ball.
Oh, it's fucking, but yeah, 18 pitches. Like,
it's hard to explain to why that's cool to someone else. Like, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I've tried to explain that to, like, my girlfriend numerous times. Like she just doesn't understand baseball, why it's exciting.
Okay. And, why hasn't he hit it yet? Like, oh,
yeah, right. It's just like, well, like, you got to kind of look at it this way. And it's like, no, that's dumb. But, I mean, given she doesn't like any sport, really. She doesn't also understand football. But, you know, I guess
fair
it's
enough.
not for everybody.
No, definitely not. So, I mean. I totally get it. It's reasonable, but this is a podcast where we usually talk about video games.
Oh,
today
God.
It's baseball.
Today it's just, yeah, no, that's, I'm all for it if we want to just
talk
about
baseball.
I think Pat,
baseball for the second.
Pat might fall asleep,
I'll see you
but.
Later. I'm taking a nap.
Bye, Pat. Bye. But, I mean, like, it sucks that, like, the United States can't get its shit together. And coronavirus is fucking spiking, like, real mean.
Running rampant,
and it's like,
on us right now.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's, like, so bad in some states. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, but baseball in 3 weeks.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like,
they were going to play in Florida, and Florida has, like, the most cases of coronavirus.
Florida is,
like
a nightmare right now, yeah.
Well, Florida kind of a nightmare.
Yeah, it's true. But, like,
Florida,
when
man.
New York was, like, on, like, when New York State was on, like, a serious shutdown, Florida was like, nah, we're fucking chilling.
Yeah, they, like, opened
no
the beaches in, like, May. We're
yeah.
like, whoa. It's like, what the fuck happened?
So, like, now they're getting fucking slammed
yeah.
because,
yeah.
like, and plus, too, like, mad people just like, yeah, fuck it. It's nice. We're going to Florida.
Yeah.
It's fucking summertime.
Yeah.
It's like, they're just getting, it sucks.
A lot of those areas that, like, typically weren't banned in the beginning were the ones that, like, opened up faster and now the ones that are, like, reeling from it because, you know, because they opened up so much quicker than, like, New York.
The United States got bored of coronavirus. That's literally it. Like, I just got bored. Like, hey, man, sun, fuck it.
Sun's out, baby. People need to fucking get out and do things.
Hell yeah, dude. One thing about also sports, I was talking to my girlfriend's brother the other day about it, and because he's a big Rockets fan.
Basketball fan, right?
Yeah, a huge Rockets, like the biggest Rockets fan you'll probably find. And like I was like, so what do you like think about this season? Like, do you think the players are gonna like, I'm sure some players will, but do you think players are gonna like think differently about it? Because there's always gonna be like the asterisk next to the season, no matter who wins. Of like, this was the coronavirus season; it's not the same as any other regular season. And he was like, no, I think it's going to be great. Like, I think everyone's ready to go. We're going to win it this year. And I was like, I can't get behind that, because I feel like I'm sure some players are anxious to get back and play. But considering all of the hoopla with the players and the league on, like, especially baseball, trying to get, like, an agreement going of, like, like how they're going to play with the money and everything.
Baseball's different because there's no salary cap. And guys want to make the most amount of money, like, as possible, which I understand. Whereas, like, basketball is a little different because, like, their contracts are already guaranteed for a lot of players. Like, they're making that money regardless. Whereas baseball, it's different, because, like, some of those contracts aren't guaranteed. A lot of it's incentive-based for certain guys.
Yeah.
Like, some of these guys are in contract years, so, like, they want to play more games.
That's a good
point.
Then
they could, I think of someone like Mookie Betts. Like, he got traded from Boston to the Dodgers. This is going to be half a season, and then he's going to want a max level contract, and they're going to hang it over his head, be like, well, we only played 60 games, and, oh, you got hurt for 20 of them, so, the first year, next year's deal, we're only going to pay you X amount, and then only portion's going to be guaranteed, because they're just going to, it all comes down to a pissing match with money, almighty dollar, especially in baseball, because there's no fucking salary cap.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Somebody's in a contract year, they got to, like, obviously they want to prove themselves or get that big contract the season after, but obviously it's kind of hard to do that at 60 games because, baseball is all about they're going on hot streaks and cold streaks, and a player can go easily 30 games on a downward spiral, or something like that, and that's half the season gone, so that is a good point, because that's, what, 100 games less? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's basketball is in an interesting position, and I'm definitely of the mindset that you're in, where it's like there's definitely going to be some players who are like, fuck this, like, I don't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
Like, and then other players like who are just fucking ready to go. But like, I can't imagine being a fan of a team. Like, think of the Milwaukee Bucks. They are by far and away this year, they were the best team.
Yeah.
Like, they have one of the best players in the world in Giannis and Antetokounmpo.
No one says his last name. Say Giannis. They don't even try his fucking last name.
So like, if I'm a Bucks fan and I'm looking at the landscape for this season, I'm going, fuck, we are going to the playoffs. We are going to cruise.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to the finals. Like, what the fuck's going to stop us? Nothing. Seven-game series. We got best player. This team's built perfectly. And then it's like, map. Now it's a weird playoff bracket. Some guys might be hurt. Their heart's not might be in it. Like, this is just a fucking mess.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's like, excited in the sense that it's different and like you want to see what happens. But at the same time, it's like, this isn't really just how it's supposed to go. Like, this is for a Bucks fan. Like, I don't know what last time if they ever won the championship. But like, if a big Bucks fan's like, this is the year. Like, it's not going to feel the same. It's not going to feel as good as it could feel.
They were cruising along. Like, think about the Warriors when they broke the record for like winning the most regular season games. Yeah, they had like the best team in basketball.
Yeah,
like by far. Imagine if this pandemic hit during that season where they were like, you knew they were gonna crush the record. You're a Warriors fan. You're fucking so excited, and then it's like, bam.
Yeah, right.
Never mind.
Yeah, it's like, bam, like, bam, bam. Like,
just deflates any momentum you had. So, I think baseball is in an interesting position, and hopefully that things. I'm sure players are going to test positive. They're going to have to quarantine themselves. You just hope that they could find a way to get it done.
Yeah.
I am excited, though. I think hockey, I hope that this changes the landscape with hockey and how they maneuver the playoffs. Because, like, this playoff bracket they set up is really cool. And I think that it gives, just more chances for the teams to play, in this playoff format. I think it's going to be, hopefully they look at this and go, yeah, this should be the way they'd like to kind of do things moving forward.
Sure, yeah.
So
I forgot who I was listening to, but they were talking about how considering like baseball kind of on the decline in terms of people watching, and NBA is on the uphill in terms of viewership, and how they would like ideally would like to swap those seasons, and the NBA season take place like during like the summer when baseball's going, and then baseball going like a different time of the year. Not necessarily that, because obviously they have to play outside, but like a different time, just because there's more viewership like in like the you know, the summer months or something like that, rather than just the fall.
Yeah, and then what kills every sport is once football starts. Because, like, I mean, you could have a meaningless game between the fucking Browns and, I don't know, think of another team that's just fucking dog shit. The Bengals. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. You could have a meaningless Monday night football game, and that'll crush viewership. You could have literally the playoffs, baseball fucking playoffs. You could have Yankees and the fucking Twins or something. I don't even know who was in the fucking playoffs last year for the AL. But, like, you could have, like, two, like, marquee teams, a playoff game, fucking Monday night baseball, and it's like, oh, well, football's back. Meaningless week two game, doesn't fucking matter. Ratings are going to get crushed by football. Doesn't even matter who's playing.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's just the way that the NFL season's set up, and, like, the one game a week. It's so watchable and easy to take in.
It's also just because, like, fantasy football and, like, suicide pools are so accessible because it's only one game a week.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, you know, football Sunday, if you're in a ton of fantasy leagues or suicide pools or whatever, pick-ems, whatever you want to say, like, it just becomes, like, an all-day thing because, like, I got this guy going at 1, this guy going at 4 o'clock, and then I got three guys going up to the 8 o'clock games. Exactly, so I got to watch those, you know, like.
Yeah, no, I've been doing fantasy now for over 10 years, but, like, every Sunday, it's, like, always, like, normally, like, why would I fucking care that Baltimore is playing, you know, the Texans or something? But now I care because I have, like,
the Texans. You have Deshaun.
I have David Johnson, you know, and I have, like, you know.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson going or something. Like, and I'm like, oh, like, well, I got to watch because those are my main players or something. Yeah. You know, but that's another thing too. Is like I did my rookie draft in my dynasty league the other week, and I'm doing all these trades and all this stuff, and I'm thinking, and I'm like, I don't even like know if the season's gonna happen the way it is. Like, who even fucking knows? Like, you know, they might hold some rookies back because the season might be stunted or something might be different with football. I mean, your whole football's gonna go off without a hitch, but we don't really know right now. Like, I drafted.
I think Pat hit the nail on the head that America stopped caring about COVID, and football makes so much fucking money that they're just going to be like, football.
Yeah, and they got bored. They got bored of this, you know, COVID, and who cares? Like, it's just open everything.
Another good point is, like, when would, like, you know, I guess we could start trailing off of this topic because I, you know.
Yes, yeah, we can.
But, like, the last thing I'll bring up is, like, when would a stadium ever be okay again? Like, crowding all those people
another
together.
Year? Like,
that's
not until there's
at the rate we're going.
Or something. Like,
yeah, at the rate we're going.
If it's
right
legitimately
now.
Extinct, like.
I honestly think that, like, they'll just, like, because I can't imagine that the entire football season will go without, like, it'll be, like, state by state, and it'll be, like, half capacity. Like, every other seat, you have to wear a mask. Like, there's going to be, like, strict restrictions for sure.
You also got to think about this, too. Like, any of those stadiums, like, a seat space between two people is not that much. It's like 2 feet.
No,
not even.
No,
like,
no. Absolutely not.
So, like, you're basically sitting next to him anyway. So, like,
imagine, like, watching, like, looking, picturing a stadium where everyone is legitimately 6 feet away from each other. Like, that is absurd.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculous. And, like, you know, people gotta walk by each other to get in.
Yeah, they
crowd,
would need
like,
they would need security at every single, like, section of seats
honestly
seat people.
Think that it's just you'll have to, like, electronically sign a waiver. About, like, that you haven't been exposed to COVID.
Probably.
Just for that, just as for, like, a...
insurance.
Like, you know, an insurance thing. Like, yep, I don't have it. Like, bop, bop, bop. And then, like, you have to wear a mask. And that's it. They're just going to be like, all right, people, go for it. Because, like, there's no way that they'll just keep... something like that generates so much revenue, there's no way it's going to be shut for the foreseeable future. They'll spin them back up with some fucking... same thing like movie theaters. Like, they're going to come back, and it's literally like they're just going to clean the seats real good. It's going to be spacing every other seat. So, like, they say you have to wear a mask when you're out of your seat. You know, that's... is it enough? Probably not. They're still going to say fucking go for it? Oh, hell yeah. Like...
yeah.
The economy.
Money. Dollars, baby.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Okay, so that was a fun 15-minute tangent about sports. The one thing I will say real quick, my last thought, sports, shortened season, Mets are going to win it. I'm going to be hyped as fuck, but there's going to be an asterisk, and everyone's going to say it's not real.
No, it wasn't a real season. Fuck
that's
you.
That would be such a Mets thing to win this season. That would be really funny.
Fuck it, man. Give it to me.
Whatever. Take what you can, I guess, right?
Bingo. shit. Okay, what's up, Dan?
No, it was a sports thing. We're done. We're done.
All right, we'll move on. So the video game we've all been playing, Last of Us 2. I want to keep my thoughts in this short and sweet. I want to save it for when we do a spoiler cast because I'm selfish, and I want to be able to talk about this game freely, every aspect of it, because there's shit that goes on within the first 2 hours that I just really, really, really want to express my thoughts on. but I can't, so I'm just going to leave it at the fact that I think this game is a fucking masterpiece. Mm. I adore it. I'm having such a fucking great time playing it. Mm-hmm. I can't wait till we finish so I can go and play it for the rest of the night and just stay up way too late playing it. And that's it. I'm going to leave it at that. If anyone else wants to fill in some more Last of stuff, by all means, take it away.
Well, I guess yeah, I'll throw out my opinion, and then, Pat, you can talk about yours since you actually finished the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't feel as strongly as Brian. Like, I actively want to play it. Like, you know, like, it's all I want to do right now besides, I guess, Destiny. But, you know. I think it's an extremely well-made game. I think the characters are, you know, one of the best I've ever played, like, in a game. It looks amazing. It plays amazing. You know, some of the stuff still feels a little, like I don't know. I don't want to say antiquated, but, like, I don't know. Like, some of the crafting systems, like, none of that blows me away because, like, that was, like, the first game, and you've seen that before, so I'm not going to act like that was some, like, revolutionary shit that I saw. But at the same time, you can't knock it out of the park in every aspect of a game. Story's great. Like, I really want to see it through. Set pieces are awesome. It hasn't fallen to that Naughty Dog thing of throwing way too many fucking enemies at you where it's, like, absurd because you're just one girl and you could somehow murder 40 dudes armed to the teeth.
Yeah, it's not doing the Nathan Drake, here's fucking 20 henchmen. Yeah.
I hope they don't ever get to that point, you know, because the game, like me and Pat were talking about, the game's not really tailored to, like, you be, like, you know, guns blazing, murdering tons of people. Like, usually when
this is the shit I didn't want to get into, we're going to get into it. Like, I'm playing on normal, and, like, I fucking, like, pick my way through every area, yeah. And at no point do I, like, I liked the fact in the last game, there was, like, I would get through sections and be like, holy shit, like, I got one bullet in this gun left, I have enough to craft a med kit. Like, I was literally, you're just, like, dragging ass through it, whereas in this one, I literally have almost every time at any given moment, I have, like, I could craft full med kits, full Molotovs, full everything, and I'm leaving ammo around because all my guns are filled up.
I've only really noticed the time that I start, like, not playing like that is when you actually take encounters, like, loud and not stealthily. Because, like, there was, like, one encounter where, like literally, like I said, I used up all my rifle ammo, all my pistol ammo. I had, like, 5 shots of my revolver. Shotgun was already done from the big guys that take a million, like, 4 shots to kill.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I had 1 med kit, couldn't craft anymore. And I'm, like, fucking hopping out of there, like, oh, fuck, that was crazy. You know what I mean? And then, like, so, like, but, like, I also got it. But if I did that stealthily, I would have all my stuff left. But I just, like, it was like I killed, like, 2 people. Like, you know, I killed one guy stealthily, fucked up the next one. Dog jumped on my ass, and then I was like, okay, I guess I'm just going to shoot everybody now.
Here,
like,
we go.
That's my fault, though. So, but
that, I will, like, getting through an encounter, like, full stealth and a bigger encounter, too. Because there are encounters that, and, you know, that just definitely drag on. Like, you'll get through a little wave of enemies, and then you'll be able to pick a house or two, and then another wave, like, pours in. You know, so if you can stealth the whole thing, then, yeah, you're going to have an abundance of equipment, which I like. But then, you know, like Dan said, there's definitely sequences where you're like, oh, I get 1 or 2 guys stealthily, and then everything just goes to shit, and you're just fucking running around, fucking kicking skulls in and trying to land shots.
I mean, the AI is pretty solid when you get into, like, those gunfights. Like, they're not stupid. Like, they'll, like, flank you.
Yeah,
and
they,
like,
go out of their way to, like, get behind you.
Yeah, get behind you and everything. And, like, you'll, like, try to run back from where you... Huh?
My favorite is when you think you're done and there's just one guy hiding.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you think you're done and then you hear it just, like, from, like, off in the distance, like, where'd she go?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, God, okay, well, no more. But
where are you?
Yeah, but, like, you know, like, run, like, you know, I was a group of houses at one point that, like, I recently did that was, like, crazy. And, like, literally, like, I would, like, run through, like, jump over a fence, and then there would be a guy to my left and the guy out a window, and the guy, like, covers the back of me, and I'm like, this is actually insane. You know, like, I should have probably restarted the checkpoint and just charged to it stealthily, but I was already committed to murdering everyone with my gun.
I only restarted an encounter once because, like, I like, kind of rushed in without realizing that I was fucking surrounded, and I was like, there's only one option here, and I'm just going to go back.
Right, yeah.
So, but I try not to restart encounters. Like, if I fuck up, I'll just let it play out.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's just, like, kind of the how it's just, like, things are gonna go down that way. Not everything's gonna be perfect, you know. Like, you gotta just fucking ride that wave.
For sure. But yeah, I guess just in closing, yeah, I want to play it more. I'm sure I have a different opinion. Like I say to you guys, like, a lot of the things that I've seen in reviews of people talking about how, like, oppressive it is and how, like, you know, like, you know, just sad and disturbing, and there's tons of killing. And I think I might be a crazy person because nothing that has really affected me too much yet. So I hope that changes so I could feel like a normal human being, but who knows?
I don't know. I'm in a similar boat to you. I mean, like there are a lot of things in that game that are super fucking sad, but, like, when I'm going through an area and I'm like, murdering these people that are also really trying really fucking hard to murder me, I don't care. Like, fuck you. Like,
I'm gonna kill you first.
Yeah, I'm getting you first. Fuck, like, and
everything that I've done, and like, obviously it's excessive. It's a video game. Like, they're gonna throw an entire wave. Like, you're the one man army bit.
Yeah.
Still range true because you are a 19-year-old girl who is literally gunning down or stealth killing anywhere between fucking
full-grown adults, like just
like 4 to 9 full-grown adults in any encounter. Like, and then also if it's the infected, forget it. There's a fucking always a ton of them. So it's like. That, you know, it's definitely just that one-man army, unrealistic, you know, it's a video game, so it's like the brutality of it, yeah, it's severe, but like that's just kind of how the first game was, it's how the second game is, I'm used to it, but everything that I've had to do so far in the story, from the character's perspective, feels justified because of the shit that went
down.
Yeah,
there are circumstances that play out that like, alright, yeah, like, yes, like if I was in her fucking shoes, I would be doing the exact same thing, like 1,000%, and like, people that are saying that it's like excessive, like put yourself in that situation, like the circumstances that occur, and then also the fact that you're in like a literal like apocalypse where like if you make a wrong turn you can die. Like, it's just people that are like, no, like, you know, they need to learn and they need to grow. Like, all right so walk into that group of people and go, no, let's talk it out, and then you get your fucking body riddled with bullet holes because like you walked up and thought like that was just gonna work out for you. Like, it's just that kind of shit is so dumb to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think from the there's a couple things, like, and we've talked about it in our Discord, okgamers.com, by the way, we'll link you to an invite. Like, they introduced the dogs,
yeah,
which is
love
a
those
great
dogs.
Great combat mechanic. They just fucking, they're awful
trap mines,
like,
baby.
Yeah, but when you got a melee one?
Oh, it's awful. It's terrible.
It, like, did they really need to make it sound like that good? Like,
I mean,
like the wincing and stuff,
all
like
of it. Like all of the,
yo,
like
the sound design is,
yeah,
fucking
they,
chef kiss,
yeah, they,
for good or bad.
They did a, like, fucking phenomenal job. Like, for just to get a little graphic here, when you fucking like stab a dude in the neck and then like slowly drop him to the ground and just cut the rest of his neck open and he's on the ground like, like gurgling.
The,
yeah, I was like,
dude,
oh my god. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
Yo, killing, yeah, anybody with like a melee weapon that's like you would like, you know,
yeah,
you make lethal is,
yeah,
fucking like, especially when she does that like full blown like home run slam.
Yeah, she's like, yo, crushes somebody's jaw,
yeah,
off
like,
their,
oh,
fucking,
yo,
face.
That,
I'm like, whoa.
Dan, that was the best way to describe it. She's, yeah, literally like fucking swinging for the fences. Yeah,
literally,
dude,
like a
like,
full, and it's like, you know, like you run up at like someone, a, like, and like they just like jump over, they go, where is she? And then you're just running at them and you just do a full
like,
blown
wham, like fucking absolute
scissor,
piss missile.
Yeah,
like,
scissor in the side of the dome with,
yeah,
a bat,
your fucking
like, oh,
metal pipe with,
yo,
scissors taped to it, and you just fucking like,
it,
clobber
it is
their
so,
jaw off.
The combat's so fluid, and like, I absolutely fucking love, you just dunk a bottle or a brick at somebody and run up and just fucking whack. Like,
yeah,
just like,
yeah. Well, it's like, I think just to give my opinions on it, like, I have beaten the game. I thought it was phenomenal.
Fuck,
like,
son,
you know,
of a bitch.
A lot of people like know mine and Dan opinions on the first game, and like we did like it. We just didn't think it was like this insane masterpiece that everybody was making it out to be. This game is leaps and bounds, like, infinitely better to me than the first game was. I can appreciate.
That's great to hear.
I can appreciate,
to me, personally.
I appreciate all like the story beats in the first one. Like, I like they were all like, you know, those hit me emotionally. But like as a game itself, I thought it was just kind of like, okay, it's like a survival horror game. That's fine, whatever.
I mean, the reason that I hold the original game to such a high standard is because of the story.
Yes, the story.
Like,
I will never say that the story, yeah, in the first game was bad, because it wasn't. It was great. But like, as good as the story is, a lot of that game is, you know, the gameplay is pretty standard survival horror fare for the most part. But this game, like, yes, the gameplay isn't too different, but just with everything, like the graphical enhancements that are available now, like the way the game looks visually, the fucking acting, like everybody sounds so natural and just so well done. The story is fucking phenomenal. Like everything about it is incredible. Like I was blown away. Dan and Brian's point that they made earlier, I actually kind of liked the fact that like I could come out of a lot of encounters like kind of like fully equipped, because that was one of my main complaints about the first one, is that they put you in so many situations where you have to just blow through all your shit. And like, there's that one, I remember specifically, there's that one part of the game where you get like your leg trapped in the first game and you're like hanging upside down and all the infected, like, the infected part, are running at you in the garage, and yeah, like you're just fucking wasting your ammo just trying to fucking kill these things. Like, they put you in so many situations in the first game where you, like, they make you blow through all your materials to like make stuff, that like it's kind of like, all right, like I feel like I never am prepared for anything. And then this game, the areas that you're like doing these encounters in are like easily like 2 to 3 times bigger than they were in the first game. And like this,
yeah, so it gives them more like real estate to put
it gives
equipment
them
in.
Exactly. It gives them more areas to actually place materials in for you to, you know, walk around and collect. Encourages you to like actually go explore these corners that like you maybe wouldn't have gone through, considering like there's probably nothing in there. But like the size of the areas that you're doing these encounters in are like, you know, vastly larger than they were, and it adds like some pretty fun like gameplay experiences. Like there were like a number of times where like I was doing like a whole encounter like real stealthy and I was good, and then like I started a stealth kill on somebody and like some dude like a fucking mile away, because everybody in that game has fucking like eagle vision, like saw me from like a window that I couldn't even like make him out in, and he's like seeing me like fucking stab his friend in the neck, and then all of a sudden I get like bounded on by like 6 people, and now I'm like scrambling. So like there was like the environments that they give you like tailor to that kind of stuff like really well, and I think it like makes for very good like gameplay like experiences. It's like they were like I have like standout moments where like when like it dawned on me to use the trap mines for the dogs, I was like, all right, yeah, like they literally follow your scent path, so once they fucking lock onto you, just drop that shit and walk away, and they'll eventually just walk right into the fucking thing. You don't gotta worry about it anymore. Like, so, you know, just I think this game to me did a lot of the things that the first game did, aside from like the crafting. Like, Dan, I do agree with you on that. Like, it is pretty much exactly how it was in the first one. Like, there's not like, you know, really anything different there. But everything else they enhanced and just made better, and like it just the whole game is just infinitely better to me than the first one was. There you go,
Pat. I love to hear it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm really hoping. I mean, I doubt it, just because, you know, it's a long game, and I'm a decent way through it. But I would have liked to have gotten more done, so next week we could potentially talk all the story beats and whatnot. Man. But with this group, we'll definitely have a very in-depth discussion on this one, because I want to.
Same.
Yeah,
I want to go over everything, specifically how it made me feel. Same. I've done that literally. Like, anything that happens, I'm texting somebody. Like, yo, listen, can we talk?
I'm here for you, dog. I beat it. Anything you need me for, just
you've
fucking,
been there. I mean,
I've been through it. So just let me know.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking last night, Pat. We should probably start up that endgame spoiler chat in OK Gamers, since like you beat it and the other people have beat it.
Yeah, I gotta, or somebody.
Yeah, we'll do
somebody
that.
Somebody can if they want.
Yeah, we'll set up the channel and make it so you have to ask for permission so you don't stumble in there on accident.
What was this?
Outside of that, I haven't played anything since the last time we recorded. So if you guys have anything else, by all means,
just around with me. Yeah, just the new season hooked me pretty good. So
yeah, I mean, I've had a lot to catch up on personally.
So yeah, Dan,
I did
I
play
was
more Shadowkeep than I realized, but my light level was a lot lower, so I had a lot of that. But now I'm like, I think I hit 1,016.
Mm. So, like, I'm getting there. You've passed me a bit.
I still have a couple pinnacle drops to get. This I have a bunch of powerful drops. I mean, me and Pat were playing a bunch last night. Pat got super drunk. He was yelling at me.
Super didn't.
I was gonna say that's cool.
I literally drank like 2 Trulies, and then like
he was
like,
hey.
I was like, Pat, I don't know. I just
you are in a silly mood.
Yeah, because I was tired.
No, we're having a good time. We're 2 pals.
And you're also a fucking idiot. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So we played a bunch last night. I mean, I still got a couple drops. I really want to try that new dungeon. I mean, besides that, I mean, if you want to be honest, Season of Rivals is just okay. Like, I want to try the new dungeon, like I said, because I heard it's really good. Other than that, like that contact public event, that's like a mashup of like other like things that they've added other seasons. It's not that fun. I don't like it really much at all. And other like
when
like,
you're story, when you're actually able to like kill stuff and like
well I know I am
it's better.
No, no, well, like, I, if I
you,
have.
If you like when you make it heroic, it's like you can't do anything unless you're like
no I know like, I mean the max is still 1040, so I could still fight them. It's just like I mean they're red bars, so they're a little like they're a little more resistant, but I still could fully participate. Like you know maybe I'm a little weaker than the rest, but like the like at least this time around I was able to participate. But still I don't really I don't think any of that really is that fun. Like I feel like they could have did something different there. And the campaign was fine, you know, the triangles, but whatever the fuck, it's Destiny. And they haven't. There's no exotic yet, right, for this season?
Well, the only exotic that they added that I'm aware of was the one with the season pass so far.
Well, yeah, which is a really cool exotic. So that's cool.
It is the most exotic they've put out in a long fucking time.
Yeah, I do like the umbrella grams and like tailoring them to like what you want. I think that's cool. But again, not like mind blowing, you know. But I think it's great. I think it's cool. But it's like Season Rival specifically isn't blowing me away. It's just, I guess that's my cycle. Yeah, it's like so often I get into a season.
It's yeah, I don't know. It seems to be going along the same route as pretty much every other season, where they introduce an activity, and then the entire season revolves around that activity. And then when the next season comes out, the activity doesn't matter anymore.
But Black Armory, Escalation Protocol. Blindwell. Like and those are way better in quality than the contact public event.
Yep.
You know, Gambit even like that's all.
But there's a weekly
Gambit Prime. I will even give it over. Yeah, you know,
and,
like
and there's a weekly engram every single week to do the new event.
Yeah, because they want you to do it.
Exactly. It's just,
so people are doing it, so it's fine. But
yeah, it just centers every season centers around an activity, and then the entire season revolves around that. And then when the season's over, that activity doesn't fucking matter anymore, so it just goes into the dumpster. And nothing, exactly. You know, like, I thought Black Army was fucking great. I thought the Forges were a lot of fun. And I, like,
I really feel like they
never should have gone away, and, like, they just did. So it's kind of, like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like, we were saying that last night. I mean, if they really wanted to, they could at least, like, give Ada bounties. And,
yeah,
like,
something.
Make it,
like,
something to go back into the Black Army. Yeah. Or at least, like, let Petra have 8 bounties, and that gives you a powerful drop.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. Like, there's no reason to even go to the Dreaming City anymore.
None whatsoever.
None at all. Like, they don't even give
unless
you
want to do the fucking Banshee bounty that requires you to go kills.
I got rid of that because I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not going there.
And if you get lucky, you get a fucking strike that's on the Dreaming City, and like you just do it there. So like,
exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. It's and the Dreaming City, personally, I thought was one of like the more like visually interesting like locations that they've ever added in any of these. So like,
yeah.
And like, and that was like a major expansion. That was like fucking year 2 Destiny 2, and they're like, no, it's like garbage.
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, obviously Destiny does that to us. It brings us back, even if it's not that much new content. But I'm excited for Beyond Light.
Yeah, same. So. Can't wait to wield the darkness.
Yeah, that's the one thing with this season where it's like I'm going to invest myself in it because all my friends have. So just by guilty by association type of mentality. But, like, if you guys weren't playing the season, I definitely wouldn't be bothered just because, like, yeah, the new exotic's cool. Then, like, Dan said, new public event. Like, it's fine. A little underwhelming. And I know this is, like, a longer season, so I'm sure they'll add stuff like, you know, there'll probably be an exotic quest at some point and there will be more content and things to do, sure. And I know we haven't done the new dungeon yet, which I've heard is very good, but still they're just like, you know, is there enough to keep me coming back every week? Because I know once I hit like that level to do the new dungeon and we run through it, it's then just going to be that grind every week of doing my pinnacles just for the sake of getting to max level and trying to finish the season pass for what? You know, just an ornament for the new stuff, like that's it. So you really get.
That's what I want.
And there's no like recluses or mountaintops to grind for now. You know, so I think this will keep me until like max light level, and like once we run the raids a good amount of times, because that usually will keeps us playing. And then I'll think I'll drop off until Beyond Light. Like I can't imagine I'm gonna grind this out until September every single week.
No shot.
As long as I can just get my hands on that fucking pulse rifle from the season pass.
You're like 10 levels away. You know you're going to be able to
get your hands on that. Yeah, I know, and I just want it now. That's
you could probably get close to it like in 2 days when you just do all the bounties today and tomorrow.
Again, I just want it right now. So you telling me that doesn't help me?
I'm just saying, it's not even something. Like an RNG drop. You know you're going to get it.
I know. I just want it.
The one thing with the, it's not the Fords, the Umbral Engrams, the one thing I will say, and Dan, to your point earlier, like the fact that you could cater it to like what you want to drop. And I've seen people like, you know, grinding for that sword and like the Gnawing Hunger. And like there's certain things that are like very good in the meta right now that like you could cater your drops to. So it's not just like this blind RNG hope and a prayer.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I got to get this. You know, there still is a level of RNG to it. Like, but you know, like, all right, every time I pump this engram, it's going to be either armor or this weapon that I want. And then it's just a matter of getting a roll that I feel is, you know, sufficient. So.
Yeah.
But, cool. Yeah, cool, man.
But that's, I haven't touched anything else.
Have I played anything? I don't think I played anything else. No.
All right. Moving along then, folks. We're gonna talk about some news. It's been a busy couple weeks.
Has it been?
Not really. There's only like a few things.
I was gonna say.
They're pretty major, though.
Yeah.
You're major.
Hell yeah. What's up? So Microsoft has shut down Mixer.
Oh,
and has transitioned users to Facebook Gaming.
Cool.
Truthfully, I the only person I ever knew on Facebook Gaming was my cousin, who doesn't stop inviting me to his Facebook Gaming group. So, Harley, other than that, I didn't know Facebook Gaming was even a remotely popular thing.
Harley Morenstein from Epic Mealtime streams on Facebook Gaming, which is still super fucking weird to me, because I don't understand why he would just fucking live stream on YouTube.
That's a good point. That's the thing.
You want to know why? Because it's another revenue stream. Because he probably gets his YouTube money. They have a contract to release their videos there. But if he streams on Facebook, then that's another. He's making
that
Facebook
is a
money.
Fucking good point, my friend.
At for that fucking economics degree, baby.
Yay!
Those economics muscles.
Hey. So yeah, I mean, do you guys want me to like go into the specifics here, or are we just, you know, like?
I mean, we're all kind of the same boat. Like, we never really watch Mixer. We don't really care. We follow this kind of stuff, but like, you know, whatever. Like, I'm not gonna watch Facebook Gaming. I'm sorry. Like, no, you're not gonna get me on Facebook to watch people play video games. I'll stick to Twitch.
Only time that happens to me is when I'm scrolling through my timeline and like it just they force it upon me.
Yeah, the only
look
time
at
it ever happens.
This guy streaming something. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah.
So all right. So just a couple like cliff notes from here. You know, Microsoft's Project xCloud is going to be integrated and expanded onto Facebook. So that's a little quick note. Which is already passed. It was July 22nd. Oh no, sorry. By July 22nd, we're still in June. My apologies. All Mixer sites and apps will redirect users to Facebook. For those who don't know, Mixer began as a streaming platform called Beam in 2016. August 2017, acquired by Microsoft, and then quickly became a big part of their integration on their systems, renamed Mixer 2017. Obviously, in the past year, they made big acquisitions from the streamer pool, Ninja, Tyler Blevins, I cannot pronounce Shroud's name.
Do it.
I can't. I don't even see a list.
I was waiting for you. I was like, is he going to try to pronounce his last name? It's with a G, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Shroud, and they also, Gothalion, however you say that. Gothalion, I was just saying Goth.
Is that how you actually say Gothalion?
Pretty sure, yeah. Isn't his emblem a lion?
I don't think so.
Like his logo? I thought it was
maybe
a lion.
You might be right. I don't really know. I mean, he's just somebody that, like, I follow on Twitter. I don't really interact with him, his streams and stuff. But, the only reason I follow him on Twitter is because he's a part of, like, the Guardian Con stuff, which I always find interesting.
Yeah.
And speaking, this is a Polygon article, if you want to read the whole thing, you can find it there. Xbox head Phil Spencer talked to them, and in quotes said, "We made a decision earlier this year that we were going to change the approach. We weren't going to be continuing with Mixer as it was, and we wanted to find a partner for us who had a similar worldview on how gaming can evolve and the impact it could have. A partner that had unique assets to really take the Mixer community, make it their own, and grow it to the level of impact and size that I really think it deserves."
You know what company that isn't?
Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, Facebook does have like a huge user base. So.
Yeah, but it's not like the future of like game streaming. Like that's not what that site is.
My aunt loves Facebook. She's not like, yo, you check out that fucking stream last night, dude. They got 15 kills in Warzone. Not gonna happen.
Real quick here, Phil Spencer said partner creators on the Mixer side have the option of joining Facebook and maintaining their status. A Facebook representative told Polygon that they'll, in quotes, "will do our best to match their current obligations as much as possible under new contracts on our side." And then it says non-partner creators will be able to join Facebook's Level Up program, which will immediately give them access to monetization, similar to the partner creators as a partner, similar to what partners get as well. Yeah. So neither Phil Spencer or the Facebook representative were able to comment on the status of more high-profile creators, but we found out just from various other people that Ninja and Shroud both got bought out of their contracts, so they fucking got a fat bag, and they have not yet announced what platform they're going to be joining, whereas Goth Lion, if you want to fucking pronounce that, he has joined the Facebook gaming platform. He already made the transition and did a couple streams on there this week, so
that's
he
cool.
is fully going on with that integration. So I think he has like a really good friend that's a popular streamer on that platform, Darkness something. He's got like a bunch of numbers on his name. I just saw them interacting on Twitter, and I think he's was one of the people that was brought on from Twitch initially with Facebook's gaming program. So he's been on that platform for years now, so I guess they've been able to kind of like help each other out in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So
at the end of the day, I still feel like Sony benefits Twitch. Because like,
yeah,
like a lot of people are going to come right back to Twitch now that, that Mixer, you know.
Yeah, at least one of the two, Shroud or Ninja, will go back to Twitch.
They're going to go somewhere, you know. Maybe YouTube is like, maybe, like, oh man, we can scoop them up. But like the rumor is that they were offered double their contracts to come to Facebook to keep to retain them, and they turned that down. So you kind of think, like, who the fuck has that money to offer them?
Part
more
of me
than
thinks
that,
they I honestly believe that if they have good agents, which they probably do, because these contracts are fucking in the millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
The, you know, Ninja's was estimated to be roughly $30 million, and Shroud's was in between $10 and $15
yeah,
million.
Fucking like Mike Trout money, like it's ridiculous.
Yo, let's not even get into it because it makes my stomach turn.
It's stupid.
Good for them. But with that being said, like they probably have fucking agents, not just one, but like a whole team of people behind them that represent them financially and help them make these decisions. And I guarantee that they you know they probably turned down the Facebook offer, but they didn't close the door. They're shopping.
Oh, yeah,
went to YouTube. They're like, you know, going to Twitch saying, all right, what can you, because they've got it. They've had the good life. Like, their Mixer deal.
Oh, they can do whatever the fuck they want. Yeah. Anyone's going to cater to them.
They had probably a schedule that they had to, like, you know, that they had to, you know, maintain.
Adhere to.
Like,
yeah.
You know, an 8 to 5, whatever it was, this day, that
4
day.
4 days a week or something, yeah.
Sure, they had to hit, like, a certain hours, but they were still, they didn't have to worry. Like, and if anyone, you know, if you're unfamiliar with Twitch, if you're just a partner streamer, you know, obviously you want to stream as much as possible because it's all about gaining new subs, getting tips, the donations, all that stuff. These guys, they don't have to worry about any of that shit. Mm-mm. They are getting a salary. They are on the payroll, you know. That's why when I look at this thing now, I'm saying to myself, okay, they're going to YouTube. They're going back to Twitch. They're saying, all right, what are you guys going to offer us? And, we'll, you know, let's work out a contract. And if not, they'll probably turn around and go, all right, Facebook, let's, you know, sit down and talk numbers again.
Yeah,
so,
no, you're definitely right.
You know, I think that it's interesting to see where they'll go just because they're such high profile names. So, and I know we weren't going to talk about it, but just real quick, I think it's worth mentioning now, especially because we're just on the topic of high profile streamers, that Dr. Disrespect is rumored to be potentially permabanned from Twitch right now.
Sayonara.
So, see ya.
Fucking.
So,
I dislike him.
If they permaband him or he's on another, whatever the case may be, there's more details we'll follow with that.
It's a huge viewership base that's just gone now.
It is. You know, he has, I think, you know, well over a,
like
million,
a million
followers.
Or something. Yeah.
You know, he's one of the more popular Twitch streamers. So if that's the case and he is gone and he's going to have to pivot and go to a different platform, that just leaves the room for Twitch, you know, money wise to offer more to Shroud or Ninja. Mm-hmm. And it's a viewer pool that Shroud or Ninja can tap into.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Yep.
My closing thoughts on this is that there's nothing that could get me to go watch video games on Facebook.
Same.
Cool.
All right, we'll move on then.
We're on the same page.
That's it. No other closing notes.
Get it, Facebook.
Ooh. All right. So moving along, the four biggest announcements from EA's Play Live event. So this happened last week. We talked about it personally. We didn't get a chance to talk about it on the show. So number one, coming in hot, Skate is coming back, baby.
Oh, hell yeah.
Cool. We're not going to see that in like 4 years.
I do. It's cool that it was announced. It was a bummer that they were just
They definitely got the go-ahead, like the green light, like right before they turned the cameras on. They were like, hey, you guys can make the game. And they're like,
it's
fuck.
Okay, hello. Yes,
like, you guys can make the game, but we need you in this
get so and so on this Zoom call right now.
Set up a camera and just tell people that it's happening.
That's I mean that what the long haired guy was like. Yeah, you guys literally commented this into existence. So like, good job.
Yeah.
So I hope people buy it. It's not just a meme. Like, I hope people actually go out and play it, because I love Skate. Like, I think I probably played all of them. You know,
the first, I think the only one I didn't play was Skate 3, but 1 and 2, man, forget it. I did played a shit ton of those.
Yeah, so. I remember like sitting in like Travis's room, friend of the show,
old friend of the show. I guess.
Yeah, and like just like back and forth, like on his 360, like handed the controller back and forth for like hours.
You could do the best line and shit. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm excited for Skate 4.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good. Like Pat said, though, definitely doubling down on that point. See you when I see you.
2024.
Apex Legends is coming to Switch with crossplay.
Yeah, it's also coming to Steam.
So Pat, I think you had a point you wanted to make about the potential of Origin.
So they, with this EA Play, they announced that like they're moving a bunch of like their, not moving, but also adding like a bunch of their higher profile games onto Steam as well, which could potentially mean that Origins at some point could go away, which would be great because I fucking hate Origin.
Origin could fucking go die in a fire. I fucking can't say it, Origin.
Yeah, Origin is a bad, bad launcher.
So, I mean, granted, I also fucking hate Steam, because Steam is also garbage. But, I don't know. I mean, there's a potential for Origin to eventually just go away, which I would not be sad. But they added, like I said, like Apex got added to Steam. I think Titanfall 2 is on Steam. I don't remember if Battlefront 2 is on Steam, but they added like a bunch of shit, like with that announcement. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's a very strong possibility that Origin doesn't go away and that they just want more people to play their games, which is very possible.
Yeah.
All right. They did announce like a bunch of other stuff for Apex, like new skins and kind of what they're doing with the
season thing.
Yeah, they also, I'm not going to get into the specifics of it because I don't think it's overly important. If you want more details, you could find articles online about it. They are changing some of the characters' abilities, and the ultimates are getting tweaked a little bit, which I think is cool. I think it keeps the game fresh, keeps things interesting. I love that they're able to be dynamic with this type of thing. So, so yeah, that's cool. I like Apex. I'm sure we'll get back into that at some point.
Yeah, I can't wait to play that game when crossplay happens, so that we can just fucking doo-doo on all the
all the Switch babies. Yeah,
all Switch
the one thing
boys.
I will say with crossplay, and specifically because I played a fair bit of Modern Warfare like within the past month, is that the controller kids and the people playing Xbox PS4, the aim assist is fucking wild.
It's really good.
Like, it almost like borderlines like being unfair to play against PC players who actually have to like line up a shot when you can just click the trigger and it just whoop like snaps for you. You know, like. Yep. I don't know. That's a different argument for another day.
They're just going to give wall hacks to the Switch guys because they can't even aim at all. Just literally just put the trigger and shoot the walls.
The fucking crazy man at the fucking video game award show.
The guy that only makes games about two people.
Yosef Fares is his name. The guy that, what did he say, fuck the Oscars or something?
Dude's out of his fucking mind.
Love it. So EA loves showing off his wacky personality. So
he's got the ego of a fucking madman. Like, it's unreal to me.
So yes, he's making another co-op game. It's called It Takes Two.
I mean, they didn't really show much.
It does look all right. But it's just stupid ass. It Takes Two. Like, come on.
Their whole gimmick is that they just make games about two people.
I know. That's so on the fucking nose. That's so silly. Like,
I know. When I saw that, I definitely, like, a hard eye roll. Like, come on.
Also, the fact that he was like, this is the greatest fucking game of all time. I was like, dude,
that's what
come
he did
on,
with
man.
A Way Out. He said, it's the most revolutionary game you ever going to fucking play.
Fucking Way Out, like, definitely had some cool things to do, like, co-op perspective. I will say, like, I give this studio all the credit in the world. Like, a Way Out, like, was a game that, like, really, now with, like, the way everything works with, like, you know, just the landscape of multiplayer gaming and the fact that they were actually able to make a successful just co-op game, you know, like, is impressive.
Was that me and you that played that together, Brian?
Yeah, we did. What's up, baby?
Fucking hospital part when it, like, just turned into, like, a side-scrolling beat-em-up, like, suddenly? Like, we were, like, running away from people, and it was like, nah, you're gonna use this lamp, and you're gonna beat the shit out of people. I was like, okay, cool.
I just the end of that game crazy. Just turned into a fucking like
yeah, like a cartel like gunfight.
Yo,
it's crazy. Yeah, it's cool.
I know. It was. And then they showed off a bunch of Star Wars Squadrons.
Can't wait for me to just be looking at a cockpit because it's the entire screen.
Cockpit.
Hey. The entire screen. There's so much cockpit. It's like fucking.
It's a lot. A lot of cockpit.
I was like, oh man. It was like, I don't know. I get it. Like there, it has to be there, but like it was a lot.
Yeah,
like,
Pat, you're in a real TIE fighter.
That's what I'm saying. Like literally,
a lot of buttons, man.
Oh man. Also, imagine playing that in VR and throwing up all over yourself.
No.
Like I was watching that, like that fucking gameplay trailer, and they're like drifting and like doing all this wild shit. I was like, no, dude, no way.
I will say that EA, like, this is great. I think that there should just be more super focused Star Wars games, like we got with Jedi Fallen Order. Mm-hmm. Like that was a very focused story, like Dark Souls esque combat fucking great game. We all played it. We all liked it. Squadrons. There's people that adore the dogfight aspect of Battlefront. So give them a super focused thing. Like, just keep making games, keep doing shit like this because people love it. They'll eat it up. It'll sell well. Like, even if Squadrons doesn't get, like, a fucking, like, a masterpiece, like, nines and tens, like, if it's just, like, middle of runs, seven fives, eights, like, it'll sell like hotcakes. People fucking love Star Wars as a brand. You know, games like this, just, you know, there's definitely just, like, a huge subset of people that just, like, they want just a fucking space combat Star Wars game. So. Yeah.
It's gonna be cool. I mean, I I'll probably check it out. It looks like it could be fun. Like I have
sure, we all will.
But, yeah.
All right, moving on. Was there anything else to you guys? I just went over the four major ones. I don't know if there's
anything
else.
That was that, like, Tim Burton game with the dice thing that was looked interesting. I don't remember what it's called.
I don't recall.
Something, the World of Random or some shit like that. Escape from Random.
Huh.
It's like the most Tim Burton shit I've ever seen in my life. You like a little girl running around, run away from like a freak show carnival or something with like a little dice, and his name is Dicey.
Dicey, oh,
yeah, that did look very Tim Burton. Also, kind of give me a little Nightmares vibes though. That game's great.
Yeah, that too. That was it. I don't remember anything else.
All right, cool. Move on quick. So Marvel's Avengers, they did like a more reveal type thing, in-depth announcement. They showed off another like a big trailer that had a lot of like story beats. They showed off more gameplay. The
showed off like
War
actual
Zones.
Gameplay.
Yeah. So the last trailer, I'm way more higher hopes now because at first I was like, I don't care. This looks like shit. So
yeah. I mean, I always had like a we were talking about this earlier, but I always had like a morbid curiosity about that game because like.
Morbid.
Yeah, because it's kind of looked like for like a while, and like nothing like really interested me that much. The multiplayer was the only thing that really like was mildly interesting to me. And then when this trailer rolled around, it like you know it changed my opinion, and I'm actually very intrigued now. And watching the gameplay that they did like a 25-minute like gameplay thing, like in-depth thing that was actually pretty cool. Like a lot of stuff was really cool. They went into the multiplayer, they like explained what it was. So yeah, I have like much higher hopes for it now.
Yeah, exactly what Pat said. And it's cool that Bodoc is the big fan.
Yeah, I like that fucking blew me away. Cause like
yeah,
when the fuck last time I saw Modok in a game, I think was like Ultimate Alliance 2.
Yeah. So excited for that.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I think the co-op looks cool. Hopefully it's more like strategic and like tactical rather than just like you know beat them up like an Ultimate Alliance. So
yeah, the only thing they really showed was them just kind of fighting people. They didn't really show
I hope
like
there's a little
progressing
more
like progressing
that,
through like an area.
The only thing I know they have announced is you can't be the same Avenger, so it can't be like the Hulk boys doing Hulk shit.
Hulk boys.
Four Hulks running around.
Hulk boys.
You can't do that. But you know,
also the focus on Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel.
Oh yeah,
is also
that is very cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
The one thing I will say, and I definitely think that's just because Nolan North and Troy Baker are in fucking everything, that, like, once I hear their voices, I'm like, that's not Tony Stark. That's Troy Baker. Like,
I get what you're saying, but I was talking to Pat before about this. Like, this trailer was the first one, like, where I saw these characters, and, like, I didn't feel super weird about it. Because I think, like, when the trailer first showed off, it was so close to Endgame that our perception was just those That's
not
actors.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, but now that it's kind of a ways away, like, I can be like, okay, this is a separate thing. I get it. Like, I'm not like, Mark Ruffalo, you know. Like, the voice, like, you know, and I'm a little more okay with it. So I feel like the more time goes by, the more I'll be okay with it.
Yeah. No, I was just talking about from a video games industry perspective. They need to just, like, I know those guys are great. Sure, everybody loves them. Troy Baker's, Joel, oof, my heart. But, like, the fucking... Like, that, they're in everything. They're in every fucking game.
This is my problem with, like, I agree with you.
Broaden your horizons. Get some other voice actors. Like, please.
I 1,000% agree with you. And, like, when Troy Baker, like, isn't just being him, like, I think he's fucking phenomenal. Like, his acting as Joel, like, that, like, southern, like, drawl he's got, like, as
Yeah,
Joel,
it doesn't,
like,
I don't,
shit,
it doesn't,
incredible.
I just, I see and hear Joel. I don't see
yes,
and hear
I
Troy Baker.
But, like, when Troy Baker is just, like, it's just Troy Baker. Like,
yep.
All right. Like, okay. Like,
and I don't,
like,
think Nolan. I mean, like, I know he did the Penguin and stuff, which he fucking, like, that was a fucking skyrocket for him. That was so good. Like, yeah, there's other things he does where I'm like, oh shit, that's him. Or yeah, it's just Nolan North being Nolan North. I'm like, that sounds like Nathan Drake, but yep, that's also, I know that voice, so that's not yep, Nathan Drake. That's Nolan
yeah,
North.
Yeah. So
and he's,
like
Tony Stark. Nope.
If they're
no.
I feel like if they're in things like this, like, they have to, like, just not be like, just
act
not them.
Damn
like,
it.
Act like, do something, like, rather than just be.
Do something.
I don't know. Like, because it does. It
do
takes
something
you out,
different.
Cause, no, because it takes
it,
you out
all
of
I
it.
Got.
Like, no, like, it takes you out of it. Like,
I get you.
Like, fucking Tony Stark is talking, and it's just. Is that Troy Baker or is that Nolan North? I don't remember.
Tony Stark?
Yeah.
Is Nolan North, right?
I don't remember.
But we're also, like, you know, crazy.
Yeah, I guess.
Guys,
yeah,
like,
we're like
tons of shit.
Yeah, we're like in the trenches. So, like, every time, yeah, like,
the casual
know
video
around
game fan who's playing there is gonna be like, "Oh, is that Troy Baker?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, for people like us that are, like, again, like I said, like, in the trenches, like, when I hear, like, I'm just gonna look at, like, whoever and be like, "Oh yeah, that's okay."
I really like that. You people like us that are in the trenches. I like that.
Yeah, bro.
We're fucking video game trenches, dude.
Hell yeah, dog.
We in there. Now you are.
Is all right.
I don't think I feel like there was, like, some cyberpunk stuff too.
Yeah, so Night City, what was the reveal, what was it called? They did a thing on Twitch,
the anime thing.
Hold on, I'll pull up the article
because I don't remember what the anime is called either, but I'm pumped about it.
I just want cyberpunk to come out. I don't know
whatever
there's just stuff about, I'm like, okay, like, I'm sure it's gonna look fucking cool. And I'm sure I'm going to go, I really want to play this, so.
And they got to wait another 2 months, so. Yeah, that was another big
so
one.
So, yeah, they
They pushed it back to November.
So, yes, they announced an anime that's coming out, I think, next year. The team behind it apparently is pretty popular. The internet, like, freaked out.
Do you know what the studio's called?
I sent it in our group, so give me 1 second to find the specifics.
Pat knows every anime studio that exists.
I know good ones.
Well, when
I
sent
know, like,
it,
the really bad ones.
In my defense, I sent it in our group, and I just sent the link and then wrote Pat. So I was expecting you to see it and go, like, oh, shit.
I don't remember.
Blah, blah, blah.
I don't remember if
I think
read
it was
the actual
the
article.
Day.
Yeah, I know Pat sleeps till, like, 3.
Shut your whore mouth.
Cyberpunk 2077 Edgerunners announced a standalone anime coming 2020 to Netflix. Trigger involved.
Oh, yeah. That's a very good studio, actually.
What else have they done?
Gurren Lagann. And what the fuck else? Kill la Kill, which is, like, that girl with, like, the crazy scissors or some
yeah,
shit. Yeah,
so. I know a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
All right. So
that's cool.
On top of that announcement, they did the Night City Wire live stream, which was just, like, another, you know, an extended trailer, gameplay look. So because apparently the game or versions of the game went out to journalists to play, like, 4 hours of it. So there's a ton of articles online. There's ones on CNET, PC Gamer, IGN. All of them had, you know, somebody, a representative from each individual outlet, you know, play it and kind of do their, you know, recap of what their thoughts. So everything seems to be super positive. Trailer looked really great. I'm very excited for this game. So
that's it.
Cool. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. All right, that's news. So do y'all want to talk about other things? One might say off topic.
Does anybody have anything off topic?
I have a couple things.
Same.
All right, somebody start.
So I watched the Judd Apatow, Pete Davidson, King of Staten Island.
Oh, did you? So did I.
Yeah,
I was gonna bring that up.
Yeah, me and
it was good.
It was. I liked it. Yeah, it had it had more heart than I thought, which was good.
Yeah. I love Pete Davidson a lot. Me and Pat were talking about him.
You really? I thought you were one of the ones that like was lukewarm on him.
No, that was me.
No, I love Pete Davidson. Yeah, I've always have. I think it's hilarious.
Okay. The one thing I'll say is that it was a few weeks ago I watched a Pete Davidson movie that was done by Hulu. Let me find the name of it quickly.
I think I know what you're talking about. I don't know.
It's on like it's literally always on like the fucking.
I like his SNL stuff, and I like him on the roasts too. That's what I was talking to Pat about. I also don't know if you know this, Brian, but Pete Davidson's dad actually passed away as a firefighter in 9/11. Yeah.
Yes, I'm fully aware. Yeah. So definitely this. I'm sure making this movie was very challenging for him. So I hope give him.
See. That's the thing. That's the thing I was talking to Pat about, which is like, he actually like uses that as like a part of like his stand up and his humor.
Oh, yeah, he talks about it all. Yeah, he talks about it all the time.
And yeah, like there's one roast where he's on where he makes like people like make jokes about it and he thinks it's funny, like he uses it as a source of like inspiration rather than like, you know, pain, which I think is pretty remarkable, which is why I have respect for him as a comedian, which is why I'm sure that part of that movie was hard, but all part of it was also probably like cathartic and like therapeutic for him, you know. Mm-hmm. So
the movie that I was referencing was done by Hulu, Big Time Adolescence is called, where he just plays like a guy that can't get his shit together. And, you know, like it's seeing those movies so close to one another, it's like he's, you know, playing a pretty similar character. Yeah. In Big Time Adolescence, he's way more of a fuck up, though. So whereas in this movie in King of Staten Island, he has like real trauma that like fucked him up with his, you know, dad passing away as a you know, fireman. And like that's obviously something that happened in real life. So it's like Dan said, source inspiration and whatnot. So. But I love Bill Burr. I thought he was fucking great in it.
Yeah, he was,
awesome. I went on like a Bill Burr like rabbit hole the other day on YouTube. I was just fucking like watching videos of him. Just fucking, he's one of the most honest people I've ever seen in my life.
He's so good.
It's like incredible to me.
I love everything that he does. Honestly, any podcast he's ever on, I'll fucking listen to it. Any stand up he has, he's so good, Bill Burr.
He was on H3 like I think this year, and like. He, like, was like, coming from a genuine place. He was trying to, like, give Ethan tips on, like, losing weight because Ethan's, like, whole gimmick is that he's fat. And he's like giving him, like, smoothie, like, recipes and stuff like that. And then, like, at some point, I forget where, like, the conversation turns, and he starts, like, ripping into him for being fat. And it was really funny. I was like, all right, whatever, dude. Fuck it.
Yeah. There was definitely, maybe it was when I saw him, because I think it was either 2 years ago. I saw him in Connecticut with my brother and my uncle. And that, like, it was in, like, a minor league hockey arena, and he was making comments about how, like, it's so depressing, like, minor league hockey, and it was just so fucking funny, you know, but, like, he definitely made comments about, like, weight loss and stuff, and he was like, I eat fucking hummus sandwiches, what the fuck is that? He's very honest, very genuine, so... Bill Burr is great. I thought Steve Buscemi was in it. Who's in it was very good.
It was really good. Marissa Tomei was good. I mean, everyone was pretty good.
Yes, you know? Yeah, for sure. The one thing I was saying, Judd Apatow, like he has to put his kids in every fucking thing, which is just like, all right, fine. Even though
she was the only normal character in the entire thing.
I forget her actual name.
Is Elizabeth Banks in there too? They just like shoehorn.
Maude Apatow, you're right. She's really good. Maude Apatow is also in Euphoria. So she's like becoming like a very good actress, and like you said, she was like the only normal character in that movie. So
that entire thing, his like friend group was like funny, or like when he's like tattooed with Bill Burr's kid, it's just like
yo,
you know, like that whole part was really funny.
Yeah,
also tattoos are just absolutely awful. Like
yep, yeah.
Also the one of his friends was he was on the Hannah Montana show, and that's the only thing I can ever remember that dude
the
from.
Brother?
No, the boss little Spanish guy.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in it. He looks exactly the same, just slightly taller. And, like, that's, I can't ever take that actor serious, but, it was good. I mean, I don't think it was phenomenal, like, go out and watch right this absolute second.
No, for $20 to rent and just, you know, just for it was a good, I guess, dramedy, you would call it, like, you know.
Yeah.
So.
It's a good popcorn movie to watch if you're looking for something to watch in, you know, one night.
Exactly. So.
Anything else, Brad?
Yeah, a couple albums, and I'm probably going to butcher some of the...
The second you bring up music, Dan always grabs his phone.
Well, I add them because I don't think I want those.
I know. It's just really funny. Like, I wait for it. Like, he said albums, I looked right at you.
I love
you, like, jump.
Sorry, I took Brian serious.
Yeah, you fucking idiot.
So Haim has a new album, Woman of Music Part 3. H-A-I-M. Dan, for your spelling. So, yeah, I know you looked at me like, what? Becca Mancari. The Greatest Part is the name of the record. Dan, I think you would like this one too.
Got it.
Another alternative. So the I'm just gonna spell it, and then you guys could try to pronounce it for me. We'll do that because I think that's more fun. K H R U A N G B I N.
Croon.
Kragbin.
Croon.
Krang
something.
It's easier if you see it. It's I think it's Kragbin.
So
Krang.
Yeah. Krang. So they released a new album. It's great. Everybody should listen to it. I'll just go off that. That's fine.
Okay, got it.
And also, last week... So is Phoebe Bridgers released her new album, Punisher, which is
did she? I didn't.
Yeah, phenomenal. I've been listening to that non-fucking-stop.
Is it the saddest thing?
I mean, I'm, sad boy, so it's good. Cool. So yeah, those are the music picks, so...
Cool, got it. Anything else?
That's it for me.
I guess I'll go quick. Finish Atlanta. It's real good.
Hell so yeah.
Thought there was a third season. Was kind of disappointed there wasn't.
I will. So real quick, seasons 3 and 4 are both releasing next year.
Yeah.
I saw that. Yep. And there's like more episodes or longer episodes or something?
Yeah, season 4 is going to be, I think, longer episodes, they said. Okay. So.
And I know season 3, a half of it takes place in like Europe too, right? I think.
Yeah, because they're that's touring.
Going to Europe. Yeah.
Touring internationally. Paperboy.
yeah, it was really good. That season 2 ended very strong. Some of those episodes were like so... They were so wacky, but they were like... But they never got to the point where I was like, what the fuck is going on?
That's
like,
the one thing like, that that show can do, man, is it's just like they could have an episode like where like North of the Border, like that like made sense because it like it's progressing the story of Paperboy as like an artist because he's like doing like tour stuff. But then like an episode like Woods... Where it's just like,
fuck,
yo, that's just fucking incredible. Yeah. Like from an acting perspective, a storytelling perspective, but like that's just an isolated story,
self-contained thing.
Yes,
And then I mean, obviously Teddy Perkins, like where the fuck did that come from? Like that's so good, you know.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, that whole the whole end of the season was awesome. Every episode really hit like a pretty high note. You know, I will say like, you know, like the show as a whole, like every episode doesn't blow me away. It's consistently good. Mm-hmm. It never dips below like very good. But like, I can't say every episode was like a fucking banger. But like the end of the second season, every episode was very like, okay, this is like.
Yeah, I mean, literally shit. When it hits, when that season hits Teddy Perkins from that episode until the end, it's great.
Yeah. Donald Glover is so fucking smart. Like he does everything that show so well. Like, even just down to just like. You know, like the forms like racism, like that, like you know that, like in the South they experience, like it's
$100 bill,
it's so real and on point, and you can tell it comes from a place of like his own life.
The $100 bill episode, oh my god,
You know, or like everything, it's a really good show. Like I did not think of what it was when I used to see advertisements for it. I feel like the advertisements do not do it justice.
No, because it focuses on like the actual like you know like the. The through line of Paperboy as an artist and Earn being his manager and like that construct, not like the one-off episodes that like you know, like the bread and butter really, you know, like
exactly. Yeah.
So,
and every character is so good. Like, obviously the dude who plays Darius, I forget his name, but he's good at everything.
Lakeith
Stanfield.
Lakeith Stanfield. Yeah. Thank you, Pat.
That's a cool name. And like obviously Donald Glover is phenomenal. And, I don't know his actual name, but the guy who plays Paperboy is his cousin is like I don't know also phenomenal like and he I looked him up that he has a history of the background in theater which you would never fucking guess because he plays like a hardcore like underground rapper you know what I mean and he plays that perfectly so they did a good job with that.
Yeah he did he's fucking great. The cast is just excellent.
Yeah. And I've made my like third attempt to start watching BoJack Horseman. I watched the first 2 episodes. Hopefully, I continue. So,
I haven't fallen down that rabbit hole yet, but I'm sure I will at some point.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know. That's I've been saying I'm going to watch it since that last season came out, and Andrew obviously always talks about how great it is. So hopefully it sticks.
I haven't talked to Andrew about it, but I don't know if any of you have ever watched it, but it's something that, like, kind of like similar to The Office, where, like, me and my girlfriend would just put it on randomly, like, when we don't, like, can't decide on a show. New Girl. Very funny. Very funny.
Oh, yeah. Who, like, Andrew likes? It's a
pretty sure.
Andrew likes a lot, right?
Yeah, because I know that's where his, like, his love for the fucking what's-his-face, the guy that was in Into Spider-Verse. Is it Nick Miller? Is that, like, that's his character's name in New Girl.
Shit.
But he has
can't remember his actual name.
Jake Johnson.
There it goes.
Because I always want to say Jake Johnson, but then I feel like I'm talking about Jack Johnson, the musician.
Jack Johnson.
Yeah, fucking banana pancakes. Yeah. Jack Johnson, yes. Yeah, so that's, I think that's where Andrew's.
Yeah, I never. Yeah, that show I always like chalked it up with like a shitty sitcom. But
apparently it's not.
I've watched some of it. It's actually very good.
Very funny. So
I was in the same boat as you. Like, before I saw any of it, I like put it like in the same category as like what the fuck is that? Two Broke Girls or whatever.
Fuck that
show's so
show.
Bad.
Yeah,
I put it in the same category as that.
Dog shit.
But yeah, like I saw a couple episodes of New Girl and it's actually good. So it's a funny show.
Yeah, so we're watching that here or there.
Pat, what do you got?
I finished Atlanta, and it's show's great. I just watched I finished the first season of Doom Patrol. I watched the first episode of the new season. Show is consistently good throughout, from start to finish. Like, all the acting is very good. Like, everybody, it's more of like a comedy than anything, and Brendan Fraser fucking kills it. Timothy Dalton does a very good job. I can't remember the other supporting actors, but everybody's very good. They do like a very good job of like taking like this weird like esoteric like DC like team and just like making a fucking silly show out of it.
Yeah.
my biggest complaint about it is the fucking special effects, and I've been saying this since I started it. With a fucking budget that like HBO is like providing at least partially, because I have some kind of contract deal with DC right now, and DC's money, and I guess Warner Bros. Also, like, the fucking special effects are not, like, not good. They're like early 2000s, like they're like bad. Luckily enough, it doesn't like it doesn't change my opinion of it, because like everything else is so strong. But like even the second season, which I was hoping, like, you know, because the first season was received so well, like, they maybe, like, jacked the budget up a little bit for the second one, but they did not. So, either way, show's very good. So, I think they, when this new season started, they dropped 3 episodes. I only watched the first, and it's just as strong as the rest of the show. So, very consistently good throughout.
Cool.
I also watched You Should Not Have, or You Should Have Left, which is like a horror. It's a horror movie from Blumhouse.
You Should Have Left.
Yeah, it was like okay. I don't know. It's like it's about like a spooky house.
Oh yeah, this is on. I saw this.
You can rent it through Amazon. Yep.
Is it new?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like one of their, like, you know, like the instead of movies in theaters, like you can rent stuff on Amazon.
Well, that like, yeah, that was like Chicken Saturday Night. You had to rent that.
Yeah, so that's where we watched it.
It's got a real bad Rotten Tomato score, Pat.
Yeah, like, so, like, it was like, all right, like, there's like, what the hell is Kevin Bacon's in it? And like,
Amanda Seyfried.
Amanda Seyfried. There are like multiple moments from Kevin Bacon that like he channeled like Mark Wahlberg from The Happening. Like, bad. I was like, okay, wow.
Can I read the critics' consensus from Rotten Tomato?
Go ahead.
You Should Have Left hints at a generally creepy experience, but never quite manages to distill its intriguing ingredients into a consistently satisfying whole.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate.
This is the movie info. Theo Conroy, that's a fucking name. Kevin Bacon is a successful middle-aged man whose marriage to his much younger actress wife, Susanna, Amanda Seyfried, is shredding at its seams. Frayed by her secretiveness, his jealousy, and the shadow of his past, in an effort to pair their relationship, Theo and Susanna book a vacation at a stunning remote modern home in the Welsh countryside for themselves and their 6-year-old daughter. What at first seems like a perfect treat distorts into a perfect nightmare, where Theo grasps on reality, begins to unravel as he's obsessed suspects that a sinister force within the house knows more than he or Susanna have revealed, even to each other. Spooky.
Yeah, I mean,
yep. Cool.
That's it.
Thanks for the reco, Pat.
They go to a spooky house and get spooked.
Yeah, the house is pretty spooky. All
right.
No, that's all I really got. I don't think I've... I don't really have any, like, music or anything.
Oh, there's one show I want to recommend, and I just need someone, either one of you guys or someone that listens to the podcast, to watch the first episode of The Midnight Gospel on Netflix.
Oh, my God, dude. I scroll by that, and I'm like, I should watch this. It looks so fucking ridiculous.
I need someone to watch just the first episode. That's all I could get through. I started to watch some of the second, and I was like, what the fuck?
You know, what's it about? That's like,
so it's just like some wild, like, trippy.
I'll read you the synopsis. So, a space caster traverses trippy worlds inside his universe simulator, exploring existential questions about life, death, and everything in between. So the first episode has just so much shit going on. I think it's animated. I think it's animated beautifully. It's very wacky and it's really
bright and ridiculous.
Yeah, and then like some of the shit that it talks about in that first episode, it just like, yo, fucking blew my fucking brain. I was like, I don't know if this is for me or if like I need to like drop a tab of acid, then sit down and watch this.
Eat like, a bunch of edibles and just lay down.
And like go big brain on this one and like fucking like just super like, you know.
Go gigantic brain.
Yo.
Super smart man.
Some of the stuff they talk about, I'm like, I just thought this was going to be a funky cartoon. They're talking about like I'm going to have an existential crisis right now. So yeah, like try to be super focused and watch that and be like, yo, what the fuck? So that's it. I'll leave it at that. That's all I got on off topic.
Do you guys know what the guy looks like who created it?
He's got a big beard, right?
It's kind of like exactly what you would expect.
Yeah, he looks like he just drops acid in the woods like every other day.
Yeah, lives in the woods.
Talks to trees.
Yeah, like carves his animation onto like bark like.
Okay, you guys got anything else?
No.
All right. So this was another episode of the OK Gamers podcast. As always, thank you guys so much for listening. You can find me on Twitter at ZinzerBrian, Dan at DNOwns3Zs, Pat, PC Mirth. If anyone wants to talk to us more, OKGamers.com. We'll link you to an invite to our Discord. If that doesn't work for some reason, you can reach out to any of us on Twitter, and we'll gladly invite you. You could jump in there, talk to us about anything. We always have some sort of discourse going about the new releases, off-topic stuff, et cetera, et cetera. Like we said, we're going to set up a Last of Us 2 spoiler discussion. Pat, you and our boy Sage, we're having a lengthy discussion about Kingdom Hearts.
I saw something and it pissed me off.
In shambles, so there's always some good conversing going on in there. So please, if you listen to the show and not in our Discord, jump on in there for further chit-chats and whatnot. So, as always, enjoy the remainder of your lives.
Goodbye. Enjoy the remainder of your lives. Goodbye. Goodbye.